Good evening, everybody. Hello, and welcome to Patriotic Review, Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 96. Now, tonight, we are meant to be being joined by the European housewife. I have sent her the link to join, although she isn't here yet. If you're watching and you've not jumped on, the link to join is in your email box now. And tonight, we are live in three places. We are live on Trovo. We are live on DLive, and we are live on RadioAlbion.com. Now, the replay of this will be on BitChute. The replays of all episodes of PWR are available on BitChute. And they're not just on BitChute, but I am currently building a dedicated PWR channel over on Odyssey/LBRY. Now, that is going to be very, very good because not only is it dead easy to upload them, it doesn't take hours as it does with other platforms. It takes just a few minutes. But when they are uploaded, they are there in their entirety in full HD. So if you want to support that, there is a PWR channel over on Odyssey/LBRY. And we have just been joined here by Cherie. Good evening. I can hear you. Well, I'll carry on with the intro as Cherie works out her sound issues. I'm just going to mute you for a second. Now, if you'd like to contribute to the show, that would be really, really grand. At the moment, we have been deplatformed from Facebook, from Instagram, from DLive. We've been deplatformed from Twitter. So it is very, very hard to get the word out. And we've also been banned from Stripe, our payment processor. So we're in a pretty bad way at the moment in terms of taking payments and donations. So at this difficult time, it is really, really appreciated if you do donate. And the best way to do that is through Entropy. The Entropy links are on my Gab, they're on my Telegram, and they're also in the Trovo chat and in the DLive chat. As I said, we are live in three places. So that's Entropy. The other great way to contribute is via crypto, and you can donate via all the major cryptos. You can donate via Bitcoin, via Monero, via Bitcoin Cash, via Litecoin, via a range of different cryptos. And if you don't see the crypto that you want to donate in, write to me and I will give you the address for that one. So we accept all forms of cryptos too. Monero is the best because it allows for complete privacy. Now, if you want to donate via bank transfer, or if you want to get in touch with me, if you want to talk to me about anything, the best way to do so is at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. That is how to email me. Plenty of people email me every week. I always get back to everyone within 24 working hours. So that is the next working day. So if you email me though on a Friday, you have to wait till Monday. Every other day, it'll be the next day. Now, the other thing I'll ask of people, it's only a small favor, but if you can like and share the stream, that would be absolutely fantastic. Because remember, I have been taken down from every single social mainstream social network where I could share this, which makes my life a lot harder and obviously makes it hard to share the show. Now, there are three other tiny pieces of information before we go over to Jason and introduce our lovely special guest. The first is the PA baking competition, which we showed all the entries for on the last PA stream with Laura Towler. You can now vote over on the PA website. So if you go to the PA website, you can actually now vote on which you think was the best entry. And we will be announcing the winner on the last Friday of the month in the special PA live stream, which again will be live on DLive, Trovo, and YouTube. So please hop on over there and vote. That would be really, really helpful. And we, as I say, we will be announcing the winner at the end of the month. Now, two other things. My weekly Friday video is going to be about the royal family debacle and how I'm not particularly sympathetic in any way to the British royal family because they forced diversity and multiculturalism down our throats for the past two or three decades. And now they're getting a taste of their own medicine and it backfires on them horrifically. And that's going to be my video on Friday. So that will be on BitChute, obviously a BitChute exclusive. No videos on YouTube for obvious reasons. And finally, On Sunday, it is Film Club, and that will be live on Trovo and DLive. And it was Laura's pick that won the vote, and it is Schindler's List. And I can tell you this, when I downloaded Schindler's List to watch it, I thought, this is going to be an annoying 2 hours. And then I saw it was 3.5 hours long. I sighed. I think I was about 45 minutes in, and I thought, I must be about halfway done by now. And there was still a good 2 hours, well over 2 hours left to watch. It was a long watch, but I am ready for it. So that is Sunday evening, Schindler's List on DLive and Trovo with the PA Film Club. Now, before we go over to Cherie, Jason, how are you, my friend? How are things going? And who is on the after party this week?
Well, everything is absolutely amazing, and it is glorious to be here, although she has, I guess, maybe stepped backstage for a moment.
Yeah, I think she's having a few device problems.
Okay. Well, we'll be here when she gets that ironed out. It's been a magnificent week, and this coming Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have, I think it's Friday at least. Yes, it is. It is Friday. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have Hyreth on with us and her brand new album. It's absolutely magnificent, the euphony of Hyreth. So make sure that you are there with us on one of the 9 platforms that we will be streaming to. And No White Guilt on YouTube is the best place to go. You can go to nowhiteguilt.org also, actually, to watch the stream. And theafterparty.tv to be able to watch the stream live. And we hope to see you all there. I want to give a big hello to and spotlight to Wake Up Western Kind. He's one of our colleagues on Twitter, and I will share the link to Wake Up Western Kind in the live stream over the course of the show today. But otherwise, it was a magnificent Sunday, Mark, I must say. We had Imminent Rains, song number 6, from his album that he's making to tell the story of Prometheus Rising, my book. I still have the posters up today. That is a Groundhog Fury poster behind me there of Prometheus Ithelia, the rewritten character. And it was a hell of a good time. The music, the new piece, nearly 8 minutes long, absolutely glorious. And Groundhog Fury did the video. So if you all missed that, you've really missed something. You got to go check it out. And I even decided to stream a bit shorter than normal. I think I only did 6.5 hours. On Sunday. So we're going to be trying to tighten those up a bit, but I'm really happy to be here with Cherie when she returns, European housewife. I have seen her and her husband on Twitter and some other platforms and had conversations with them, and they are really splendid people, really wonderful people. And happy to be with everybody here in service to white well-being. And of course, our great leader on PWR, Mark Collett. I'll pass it back to you, brother, so that we can roll and wait for Cherie to show up.
Well, hopefully she'll get her technical issues sorted. I noticed it said on her little screen down at the bottom that her devices were no longer connected. So I'm very much hoping that she comes back soon. I realize that sometimes it can be a bit of a stress getting things like that worked out. And we understand that guests sometimes have technical issues. So she is here, or hopefully she is trying to be here. And I'm very much hoping that she'll be joining us again in a few minutes. Otherwise, it'll just be me and Jason rambling like madmen for the next hour and 50 minutes, which I think we've had to do that before. But the first thing I was going to say, if Cherie isn't here, just to throw it out to the audience, obviously we're coming up on show 100. We're going to have a lot of guests. I want this to be an all-star show from both sides of the Atlantic. There's going to be guests that are very well known. Obviously, we're going to have Laura and Sam. We're going to have Dr. David Duke. Patrick Slattery will be returning. Hopefully, we'll have people like Jared Taylor, Dr. Kevin McDonald. It would be great to have an all-star show. Also, people from the continent. I'd like to see the Golden One and Frody Midyard back. But we do have an awful, awful lot of friends. And when you've got an awful lot of friends, you don't want to leave anybody out. And I was thinking, and I was speaking to Jason about this briefly before the show, how long would people like the show 100 to go on? Would you like a 3-hour stream or a 4-hour stream? Obviously, every hour we stream is room for really 6 guests. Well, 5 guests in the first hour and 5 guests in the final hour, because obviously you've got an issue where you've got a 10-minute intro, 10-minute outro. Would people like a 3 or 4 hour stream? People are saying they want a 24-hour stream. That isn't happening. Keith Woods and Morgoth will definitely be invited. I think it would be, obviously, everyone who is a well-known nationalist, both sides of the Atlantic and on the continent, would be allowed. But 4 hours seems to be winning it. So if we go from 7 p.m. UK time to 11 p.m. UK time, it'll be the longest stream I've ever done. But I think it's worth it because it's the 100th show, but it's really the 200th show because there was 100 this week on the alt-right shows before PWR began. And I can't believe how quickly time has flown. 4 years of doing this show every week. It's been a long time, but it's been a good time. It's been a good time. And we do actually have a lot to talk about this week. And I was really looking forward to speaking to Cherie about some of the things that have been in the news cycle this week. Now, if you have been watching the news, which I'm sure many people do, it's all been about Meghan Markle. It's all been about Prince Harry. It's been about that Oprah Winfrey interview. And obviously, there's a lot of things to unpack there because this isn't just about race. It's also about feminism. It's also about the role of a woman in the home, a role of the woman as a public figure. And Cherie is obviously very well known for taking on a very traditional role, being a housewife and pushing back against feminism. And for anyone who's read my book, The Fall of Western Man, one of the big things that I cover in there, I think there's about two or three chapters in there on this, is actually feminism and how feminism is a brutal attack on Western civilization and how people of European descent have seen their families ruined because of that, our birth rate rapidly reduced, and women have been turned from loving mothers into basically units of labor. And I think part of this is obviously to destroy us, but also part of this is to increase GDP, because ultimately, if you have sort of a third or so of your potential workforce staying at home to look after children, that is not as monetarily beneficial as having them in work and also having them with more disposable income. Because obviously, if they have more disposable income, they can spend more money. And if they're spending more money, what are they doing? They're raising GDP. And I think that's a very important thing to note. And it would have been great to talk to Cherie about this. So I'm just going to leave you with Jason for a couple of moments, and I'm going to shoot her over an email to see if she's if she is actually coming back. Because if not, we will just move on with the show, myself and Jason. So over to you, my friend.
No problem. We can have a good time over here. In fact, I imagine there are folks who we don't always do a lot of interaction with the audience right from the live chat. So if anybody has anything to specifically say in either live chats, make sure you tag me as No White Guilt, and perhaps I'll get an opportunity to speak to what you are thinking and what your questions might be. One of the things that is really important for, and I do have both, I say, DLive and Trovo open. One of the things that are important for us, I think, for our number one, we should be endeavoring to spread the good work that we're doing, white well-being, to as many people as we possibly can while there's still time to do that. And many people are in a bit of a depressed state. And when they are in a bit of a depressed state, that magnifies what we refer to as white noir, which is the sickness in Western kind that we see as a consequence of being infected with anti-white ideas. These ideas, and then therefore the mean pathogens, and therefore the white noir, they cause in people, and I want everybody to be very careful about this, they cause in people this gallows humor. They also cause what we refer to as gallows glee, which is, of course, gallows humor, you know quite well, that's in the dictionary. And that is when people see they're hopeless and they look at the victimization of their people, their kind, themselves, and they laugh at it. And it's not a laughter that is a bolstering of one's spirits. It's not like in that magnificent movie where our people, specifically the British, are in the fort and the non-white people in many, many times, 20-1 numbers or something like this show up and they begin singing. And so then the British troops begin singing. What a magnificent film that was. And it's not that kind of laughter. It's a laughter that is almost rejoicing in one's hopelessness and one's despair and a sort of a sarcastic embracing of one's victimization. And that, my friends, is a sickness. Mark has obviously seen over the years, many of who have been involved in a very long time in service to white well-being in the various white sympathetic spheres, have witnessed something else that we refer to as this gallows glee. And it's like where people endeavor, we get together and we endeavor to outdo each other with horror stories of what has happened to our people since the last time we got together. Understand that this is an illness. Can you imagine a group of Jewish people or a group of Black people or a group of any other non-white race getting together and laughing about their people's persecution, laughing about their displacement, laughing about their erasure, laughing about the victimization of their women? Or can you imagine them feeling some sort of joy, some sort of satisfaction from having the best story or the grossest story of the victimization of their people, their children, their elderly, or something of this nature? Many of you right now are hearing the words I'm saying, and you're saying to yourself, oh my gosh, I've done that. I have had gallows glee. I have had gallows humor. Well, these things undermine our endeavor to be healthy. They are an example of the sickness of white noir, and we should acknowledge them as such. Endeavor instead, and I exhort you to do this for your own well-being, your individual well-being. Endeavor instead, when you feel the desire, when you read the story or whatever it might be of how more of our people have been victimized, or the newest outrage, like in America, we have the people talking about the difference between, you know, Cardi B and her disgusting song being the song for the year, and then these cartoon books.
Well, Wait a second. I'm dealing with these audio issues, but I just heard something there. Did you say Cardi B had a song that is Song of the Year?
Yes.
And what's the song is that?
It is called, I won't say the third world, but a word, but it's wet ass and then a female genitalia.
Oh my dear. And that was Song of the Year. Because this, because yes, she is a foul, foul creature. And I know you're in the middle of a rant there, but I've got to say this, having a young daughter, this kind of thing really, really annoys me. And it fills me with rage. And I was saying this to Mrs. Mark the other day, because occasionally we have the radio on. Now, a lot of the time we listen to Classic FM, but sometimes we put on a different radio station. And the other week we were listening to stuff, and it was pretty tame stuff. It was one evening we had a couple of guests over, and they had some old school, like 90s dance music on. It was all pretty harmless. But if you actually have the radio on through the day, you get these songs which are completely sexual, and your toddler is there bopping away to a song which is about sex, or describing in depth and quite graphic detail a sex act, and this is on the radio. I mean, I don't like the radio, mainly because if you are a radio presenter, you have to have a special mentality. It's almost like you have to have been lobotomized before you're allowed on the radio. These people are like, they're worse than midwits. They are the worst of the worst. And they just talk complete nonsense for hours and hours. They make no sense, and they fawn over the lowest of the low. These people are instrumental in the race to the bottom of the barrel. But as a dad, and as a father of a little girl, and Sophia, she does like to bop away. The other week, I was just messing around, and I put on some sort of, it was music from old computer games that were on eBay, and she jumps up and down to it and dances and bops away, and it's all quite harmless. But then you leave her in front of the radio, and the radio now is as bad as the TV. But Jason, sorry, carry on there, my friend, carry on. It was just, oh, I think our guest is back. I think we have a guest.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're a little bit faint, but I'll just have to turn up my audio. Now, I'm going to give you a proper introduction, Cherie, because you didn't get the proper introduction. Tonight, we have a very, very special guest. She is a very beautiful woman. She is a very traditional woman. And she epitomizes what women should be, what women were, and what made the nuclear family so great. The housewife, the mother, was the glue that held the family together. And when people talk about important roles that women play in society, there is no more important role than a loving partner, a committed homemaker, and a wonderful mother. Wonderful mothers make our society work. They nurture the next generation, and they ensure that the next generation grow up to be upstanding, decent people. And having people like Cherie in our movement fills me with joy, because these people are on the front line in the fight back against the poisonous doctrine of feminism. I'm really, really happy she sorted her audio out. Thank you so much for joining us, Cherie. Please introduce yourself. Tell us where my audience can find you, how we can contribute to your work, and say hello to the audience. They've been waiting 20 minutes, and I'm sure they're very excited to hear from you.
Sorry if you had to wait so long. That was the loveliest intro. Thank you so much, Mark. I'm Cherie Jasmine, and I live in Cyprus. I'm a married mother with four children, three grandsons, and I used to be on Twitter before I was cancelled out, but I think someone likes me in there because they keep putting me back after a few weeks. And I'm on Instagram and Telegram, and that's about it. Hello, Jason, too.
So we've got a lot to talk about today, and it's really quite lucky that we've got you on today, because obviously the big news the world over is Meghan Markle and the former Prince Harry. I don't think he's allowed to be a prince anymore. And obviously this is a man whose life has been turned upside down, but he's also turned the lives of his entire family upside down, because he married the wrong woman. Now, I've got a lot of disparaging comments to make about Meghan Markle. I've made a lot before, and I've got a lot more to make. But if your son was looking to marry a woman, and your son brought somebody home like Meghan Markle, what would your advice be to your son?
Oh, my goodness, to run away as fast as he can. Because I can't understand how Harry said he fell in love after two dates. Now, how stupid was that? My God, how can you fall in love in two dates? The whole thing is crazy with Meghan. You can see that she's just like got in there, and she's got this big white chip on her shoulder, and she comes into the royal family and she just wants to, I don't know, I think she wanted to be the queen. She goes in there and she didn't really like having to go backwards, like behind the other people. She was like too good. And then I can't understand how he's done this. He's just ruined everything for himself. And he looks so ridiculous now. He looks like some kind of like effeminate character. He may as well carry her bags wherever she goes, because it's not a man anymore. It's like her echo behind her, where it's just like, green, whatever. He can't even keep the lie straight, because when they were doing the interview, she said totally different things. She was saying all different things. And then he comes out, and he's trying to remember the lies she's taught him to say. And it's like, I don't know. He must have got punched afterwards because he got it wrong.
Do you think she wears the trousers completely then? What did you pick up from their body language?
She is this big narcissist, I think, this malignant one. She's been like this for years, because the royal family wasn't bad to her. They were too nice to her. They went in there, and because she was biracial, she got better treatment than anyone else, just in case they were called racist. And she was just planning to do this all along. And it's the same with her family. I think she hates her dad because she got better than the other kids. Everything she got was because poor little Meghan is biracial. And then she got it in her head that everything was good, but everything was good because of that. And there was some kind of, she was a bit inferior, I think she feels. And then when she goes in there, sees everyone in there, she wants to be the boss, but she can't be the boss. And then she ends up just destroying everyone around there. It's crazy how they let her in. If I was the queen, I wouldn't let her in. It's just, I used to live in the outback, and they had funnel web spiders, and they were like attacking you like this. What you have to do when people attack you like this, you step on them really fast, those spiders. And I was like, she's like one of those funnel webs. She comes in and she's like got her big fangs out. And then everyone's scared to say anything in case they get called racist. Look at that Piers Morgan today. What the hell? He got cancelled out himself with this. He deserves it, though. He got his karma back for all the silly stuff he said over the years. I heard him saying, I don't mind if my son brings a black woman home. I'd love it. I'd love it. And all this crawling, and he gets cancelled anyway. So it's just hilarious.
Well, no, I was saying this to Jason just before he came on. I was saying, I'm doing actually a whole video on the Meghan debacle. And I've got to say, I am in no way at all sympathetic to either the royal family or Piers Morgan. No. It seems to be that all of these people, no matter how much they grovel, no matter how much they get on their knees, and really the whole royal family got down on their knees for this woman to prove that they were welcoming and they wanted to be diverse. I remember when they invited Meghan Markle's mother into one of the palaces, and it did look like some hobo had just got off the off a plane, you know, off some package flight, and they just sort of wheeled her into the palace for a photo op. And you're looking at all of this, and you're thinking to yourself,
a Whoopi Goldberg movie. It was so it was so bad. And when you look at now, how they're saying who's the racist in their royal family. Who said whether the kid was like dark or whatever? Everyone wondered that. Everyone in the world wondered whether that baby was going to be dark or white, whatever it was. Everyone wondered it. Someone must have just said, if they did say anything, would have just said, I wonder if it's going to be dark like Meghan's family, and it wouldn't have been anything. It's just natural. I was thinking, I wonder if that kid's black. And when it was born white, I think she was disappointed because she wanted to drag the black kid around. So, you know, maybe she's hoping for the next one to be a bit darker.
Well, they do have a second. They do have a second on the way. And I think that when I look at this, especially with Piers Morgan, nobody has pushed the state's line harder than Piers Morgan. He wanted us all to take the vaccine. He wanted us all to have the vaccine passport. He was having a go at anyone who wouldn't take it. He wanted us all to be diverse. He wanted us all to be multicultural. He wanted us all to accept every single modern poison that our enemies attempt to push upon us. And I just find it so funny that after all of his acts of treachery, after all of the things he's pushed, I remember when he spoke in reasonably glowing terms about people pulling down statues and, you know, how he was proud of his son for going out there and vandalizing statues. And despite all of this diversity that he's bought into, it didn't save him either. He's gone.
He may as well have not done all the crawling because it was a waste of time because now he's cancelled like everyone else. The next thing, is he still on Twitter? Because he'll be cancelled soon if he is. Because what is it? It's just going to go on a roll with this. They can just go after everyone now. Meghan's just set the bomb into everything with this. You got it's against white people what she's done. It's not just the royal family. It's everything she hates. Everything. And I think she just hates her dad because he's white and he was too nice to her.
I was also going to say as well about Piers Morgan. I don't know if you guys heard, but the actual complaint that got Piers Morgan kicked off Good Morning Britain was actually Meghan. Meghan actually contacted ITV herself to make a complaint to say that Piers Morgan was basically minimizing her mental anguish and pain. I don't know if you'd heard that.
Yes, and the mental anguish, you know how she says, oh, when I was pregnant, I was suicidal. Well, I think she's been watching the Princess Diana interview where Princess Diana said when she was pregnant, she was suicidal, throwing herself down the stairs. She's mimicking her dead mother-in-law. It's like everything. And this is how she got Harry. She got Harry because he's already traumatized and he's mental. She got him so traumatized, and then she was going to him, "Ah, oh, I'm going to kill myself." And it's like his mom is she's brought out the worst in him, and she's brought out every fear he had. Instead of being the woman that could make him strong and being his proper woman, she's got in there and just destroyed him. He doesn't even look normal anymore. He looks crazy now. It looks like he's like half asleep or drugged or something. It's really crazy what's happened. Very quickly, she ruined him.
She did, and I often ask who's behind these things when they happen. I'm going to read this article to you from the Jewish Chronicle. I'm going to quote directly. "Meet Misha Nunu, the Jewish matchmaker who brought Harry and Meghan together. Misha Nunu is the Jewish best friend of Ms. Markle, who introduced the actress to the prince. When it comes to matchmakers, you can't do better than those of the Jewish persuasion. Or at least that's what Prince Harry and Meghan Markle may think as news emerges that they appear to have been set up together by their very own Yenta." I don't even know what a Yenta is, but I know I don't want one.
It's not good, whatever it is. It's something really bad. Why is always the Jewish? It's always them all around, behind everything, it seems to be. My goodness me. Even matchmaking, and they do it really bad.
Well, they're certainly behind feminism. They're certainly behind feminism. Jason, what do you think to this debacle? Have you been following it at all, my friend?
Yeah, just ever so slightly from across the big pond here. I just want to quickly say a big hello to Cherie as well. What a prepossessing, lovely lady. She is grace in motion, and we love her and her husband. So thank you so much for being with us today and ironing out the technical difficulties that sometimes are just a result of trying to live stream when you don't agree with anti-whiteism and the anti-whites hate you. And so, I've been following this a bit, and it is really, from the American point of view, most of us think the whole royal family is just a colossal train wreck. And it's one thing after the other, and they're goofy to us, and they are getting paid just for being alive. And we get the idea that there's the pomp and circumstance, and you want to hold on to this sort of thing. But it's really, for us, it is, I think many Americans just see it as, well, this is the Brits. They have their reality TV show that's very, very expensive. And it has some sort of long history, at least attached to it. It wasn't recently started. But yeah, this is a great example. And Mark, we talked about when Harry was first, I guess, dating. I don't know if you remember this, Mark, when he was first dating this woman as a professional porno actress or whatever she is, or actress, whatever she is. And we both speculated a lot. Did she really, this guy could have gone anywhere. He's a decent looking fellow, and he's a prince, and all the money pours in for doing nothing other than being the prince, until recently, of course. And this meant that he could have gone to any of these galas, any of these events. He could have essentially picked the best looking and highest IQ and most moral woman in the room and said, "I think I'm interested in you." And she would, of course, said, "Well, then I'm absolutely interested back." It really wouldn't matter. He could have had that. He could have had that sort of beauty, intelligence, health, morality, etc. But instead, and I think Cherie actually pointed something out that I think is really sagacious, I hadn't thought about yet, and that this woman, in fact, being a professional actress or horizontal actress or whatever she does, is trained to imitate, and perhaps training to imitate whatever memories he has of his mother, whether they're from video or what have you, training to imitate his mother as an actress somehow helped her to wheedle her way in. I don't doubt there were other parties who were sort of helping along the process as well. But the other thing I think that we concluded, or at least I did, I'll take credit for it because it was maybe kind of ugly, is that the reason why he decided to go with this woman, and she's not horrible looking. I mean, she obviously could be worse. She could look like her mother. She could be much worse looking, but I mean, she does have a big contribution from her father, and she's better looking than her mother. But having said that, again, Harry could have had, and I'm sure some the options would have not only been extraordinarily beautiful, healthy, moral, etc., but even women in this state who are virgins, I'm sure would have been available to him. And instead, he chose this woman who had done sex scenes and everything else. And I concluded that there must be something there that is very private for Harry that he likes, and that these healthy, moral, sane women would not do for him. I don't know what that might be, because I'm healthy and sane and moral, and I know how to be with a woman in public and in private, and there's nothing abnormal to that behavior. But there must be something very abnormal for Harry, and that seems to potentially speak to the state that we're in right now, because he has been he's been completely gelded by this woman. She is totally in control of him. Cherie made the great point, and we've witnessed it over here in the States as well, that he seems to be speaking off a script that she has written, maybe, you know, horrible misspellings and swiftly on a piece of napkin or something, and then passed it over to him. This is what you will say. This is how you will talk. They are trying to, of course, establish themselves as some sort of victims, which is typical of anti-whites. But I think the great point so far, and we shouldn't gloss over it easily, is that this woman is, the point that Cherie made, this woman is a professional actress. And maybe part of how this all came about was her manipulation of this once, I assume he was a man. He did act like a man at different points in his life as he was coming of age. And now he's been gelded, and he's out in the field to just do as she says. So maybe the state that he is now in is a consequence, as Cherie points out, of this woman's professional acting ability and the imitation of his mother. That's actually a really fascinating thing. I'm going to be thinking about that, but that's, for now, that's all I would like to add. But very fascinating point to make about that relationship and that dynamic, and how it, I assume, I'll just say this and I'll pass it right back. I assume we'll see more of that sort of thing. Her imitation, perhaps, of the dead mother, her mother-in-law, and Harry becoming increasingly subservient and obsequious to this. If it could get any worse, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll come out in leather and some sort of simp gear to prove his subservience to her. But that's all I'll say for now. It could get grosser, so we'll leave it there. But I'll pass it back.
I'm going to ask Cherie a question. You're obviously a woman, so you understand, or I'm hoping you understand, how women think. I don't think any man truly understands how a woman thinks. But I've got to ask you this. Was this Meghan's plan all along? Did she reel him in to basically use him to thrust herself from, you know, the D or E-list celebrity that she was to being the world's most famous woman, which she is this week? Was this her plan all along?
I think it was, especially since she pretended she never even knew who he was. I didn't know who Harry was. I never Googled him. What a liar. She was outside the palace on a holiday with her friends. There's all photographs of her. She's just a big liar. I didn't know this. I didn't know how to curtsy. I don't know how to... This woman's nearly 40. She's an idiot. What is this? It's just, I don't know. She fools him, but she's not fooling anyone else, because a lot of people don't like her. And she's sitting there with Oprah. Oprah is just a big demon. What the hell? And they're sitting there. They must have high-fived after that. They were just so happy, and they were excited to get this out. Oh, look, all these white people are racist. This is it. Come on, Meghan, you can bring them all down. And in a few years, we're going to see the same interview, but it's going to be about Harry. Meghan will be sitting there going on, Harry never did this. He was the worst husband ever. He was so bad and mean to me. He didn't know how to treat a woman, all this. So next thing, she'll probably even run off with Oprah. This woman is just insane. You can see what she's doing now. I wouldn't be surprised if she goes for president one day, because she's got this thing. She's got all these people with her now. Next thing, she'll be running around at Black Lives Matter and everyone else. She's got them all rolled up, and she wants to be ahead of something. She wants to be, look at me. I'm, you know, in charge of their mental health now, but she's obviously mental, so she's in charge of it. And now with the the dark thing she came out with, the dark, she just, I don't know, what a horrible thing to do. And what a horrible thing to do to her son, because now he has to look at this, how everyone is wondering if he was going to be dark and all these things. Wouldn't you keep that to yourself if someone did it? I remember seeing Princess Diana's interview years ago, and I was thinking, she's lovely, but she doesn't think what the kids are going to feel when she's saying Charles hated the red hair on Harry, he's so shocked with his red hair and all these other things and all the arguments. Wouldn't you keep it to yourself, because the kids are going to watch that? And obviously it's bothered Harry. Obviously it's bothered him, because he seems to be just trying to get back at everyone. He's got this woman that saw his weakness. She saw it and she played on it. She went right for him. He was easy to get, because in two dates he was in love. So how is this possible, a prince? You'd think he'd have more intelligence than that, because everyone would be running after him. He had beautiful girls before, but I think they didn't put up with his crap. This one encouraged it, encouraged everything bad that he was thinking. She encouraged it and made him, I don't know, run to be her protector, because she was just going to get killed like his mother. It's just ridiculous, the whole thing that she's done. She doesn't love him at all. You don't do that to someone you love.
Well, this is my perspective. It's slightly different from yours, actually. Now, obviously, if I had been in Harry's position, I'm telling you now what I would have done with my life. If I'd have been in Harry's position, there would have been two things that I'd have done drastically different to Harry. Firstly, I would have had an absolutely massive computer game collection. That would have been a given. And the second thing, I'd have had a much, much more beautiful and much younger wife. And I think that some men, such as Harry, and this is my perspective, they can have almost anything that they want. And I've got to say, most women would be bowled over if Prince Harry walked up and said, could I take you for a drink? And I think that when you have that kind of power, if you're somebody who is actually unsure of themselves, if you're somebody that isn't confident in who you are, if you've got deep-seated problems, it actually turns you off when people are submissive, when people are happy to be with you. And I don't think Meghan was happy to be with him. I think she probably was a little bit of a harder nut to crack. She didn't want to be a royal. She didn't want to fall at his feet. She wasn't flattered at the idea of being a member of the royal family. And because of that, I think that turned Harry on. I think it was like one of those lovesick little boys who was out of his depth getting strung along. And I've seen many men like this. I've seen men who have had wonderful women around them, and they've not wanted any of it. They've not wanted a woman that loves them, a woman that's dutiful and kind and caring. And then all of a sudden, some woman who is an absolute nightmare comes along, and the same guy's being strung along, and he can't get enough of it. It's a very strange mindset, but some men chase trouble. And I think Harry was chasing trouble. And I think part of that is because he obviously lost his mother, which is very sad, but I think he chased trouble. I think he wasn't going after the women that would have loved him and fallen at his feet and been good and ultimately played along with being a royal. Now, I know that Meghan's made out it's a nightmare being a royal. It's not a nightmare being a royal, is it? I mean, oh my God, I woke up in a palace and had my breakfast cooked for me, then got looked after, then somebody dressed me, then I went out for the day and adoring fans and subjects waved at me before I went to a restaurant that normal folk can't afford. It's not a nightmare, is it? Sometimes it might get a bit stuffy or a bit claustrophobic with everyone looking in, but it's not like you're working in a poorhouse or going down some diamond mine in Africa, is it? It's not a nightmare. It's quite a nice life. What do you think to that assessment? Do you think there could be any truth in the fact he was looking for a hard nut to crack?
Yeah, he found one. He found the meanest woman. I think she's meaner. She probably whips him in around the house. But the way she is, she is a succubus. She went after him. She gave him everything he wanted. He had the best sex ever. I'm telling you, she blew his mind, and he couldn't stop thinking about it. He wanted it all the time. So he probably gets hardly anything now. Now he just gets in trouble every minute, because this is what it is. These women, I've seen these women, they're really horrible. They target a man, and then they destroy him. And he has to do everything he's told now, or that's it. She'd be screaming in his ear. He's having a horrible life. He looks sick. He looks like he's, like, really depressed. And then he's trying to talk. He's not himself anymore. But this is a lesson to everyone, how important it is to pick the right woman. Because this woman, she not only destroyed him, her own family, now look at his family. His family, everyone's looking at playing who's the racist in it. It's ridiculous. Who cares about this, how dark the baby's skin or whatever? It turned out white. And the thing is, if it was dark, wouldn't you just ask that? Everyone was thinking, I wonder if the baby's going to be born black. Everyone I knew this said this. Everyone, it's just natural when one person is biracial. It's just natural to say it. It's nothing bad, but she makes everything bad because everything's racist. Everything is racist to her. Everything is sexist. Everything. These women are nuts. These feminists are crazy, and there's so many of them now. I see so many people, and they're saying, I just want a normal woman. There's so many single men. I just want someone normal, someone that's kind and nice and just, you know, they don't want a slave. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing at all.
Well, that's a very good perspective. I also liked what you said about her being a succubus, because I was actually talking to Mrs. Mark about this very issue, and I described women like her in exactly the same way. And I think you're right. You said something that I could never say on air about their sex life, but I think you're right. I think she blew his mind, and I think she's a little bit older than him, maybe had a bit more experience. He'd generally been with younger women. I think she, you know, she was a divorcee. She'd been on the Hollywood scene. She's probably done a lot of pretty dirty things. And I think what's happened here is she's blown this guy's mind. She's got her hooks into him, and now she's got what she wants. But there is one last question I'll ask on this before we move forward, because I wanted to talk briefly before we go to the questions and answers about the burqa ban that's coming in Switzerland. But before we talk about that, Cherie, do you think it's going to last? Or do you think, because a succubus, basically, she pulls a man in, she's so beautiful, she's so alluring, she's so sexual, that the succubus enchants the man. But after she's slept with him, she basically takes his soul, she sucks him dry, and he's left with nothing. And then she moves on to her next victim. Will Meghan do the same? Will she suck Harry dry and then eventually divorce him for the next big story?
I think so. I think this is going to go along. And then he looks drained already. He looks like he can barely. It's just getting worse every minute. And then now he's got his family troubles, everything. It's just going to go along like this for the next few years. And then it'll just be this big explosion. Whether maybe he'll crack one day, but I think she's the one that's going to leave him. She's going to leave him, and he'll just be this mess that nobody wants anymore, because he's just like burned all his bridges behind him for this monster woman that everyone can see she's horrible except for him and maybe her friends. But I think her friends even know. Her friends know she's horrible, but they go along with it because this is what these people do. And they'll never be happy, never be happy. No matter how much money they have, how many, she's got 16 bathrooms, for goodness sake, my goodness, they've got the biggest house ever. She's got all this, but they'll never be happy in it. If they were happy, they wouldn't even be doing this. They'd be so happy. She wouldn't even be thinking of sitting, stabbing the royal family in the back. She wouldn't be doing this. They'd be too happy to do this. They'd just do their own thing. But she's got a problem.
Well, I agree with that. And we're going to move on in a sec, but that's a very, very astute point, that is. If they were happy and they were running away because they were so blissfully in love, they'd be sat quietly in a cottage somewhere, living off the millions that they've got tucked away, making love endlessly and cooing at each other. But that's not what they're doing. They're brutally politicking and ripping the rest of his family to pieces. And one last thing I will say about this. If you date somebody who has ripped their own family to pieces, who's got, and she did, her dad gave her everything. She was the apple of his eye. And I think he basically, every last penny that he had, he gave to her more or less to get her career started. And as soon as he'd given that, she blanked him. That was it. She never spoke to him. She never returned his calls. That was it, Dad. I've got what I need from you. You know, live out your days. I've got your money. I've got what I want. See you later. And she ripped her own family apart. That, to me, is a major red flag. If I was with a woman, or I was dating a woman that had torn her own family apart, ripped her own family off, treated them with such contempt, one of my thoughts would be, well, if I become her family, I'm in the firing line. If my family become her family, they're in the firing line. Was Harry deeply irresponsible for putting his own family in the firing line like this? Because she's done to them what she's done to her own.
She has. And when you look at it, Prince Charles walked her down the aisle. And seemingly they were the family she never had. And her own family were coming out. Her brother said, oh, don't marry her. You don't know what she's like. She's really bad. She's going to, you know, destroy you. And everyone thought he was nuts. He's on drugs. Okay. Then the sister comes out. No, she's crazy too. Oh, you don't know Megan. She's a crazy narcissist. She's done all this to her family. And no one believed them. They thought they were idiots. And then they look at her. She comes in there that wedding day. Oh, my goodness. Why did they get married before? What was she saying? She already got married and then you had the big wedding afterwards? What a waste of money there if you already got married. I think it's just all lies. She just can't stop lying. It's just one thing after another with this woman.
It is, it is. But let's move on to something more positive. And there is something I really, really want to talk about, because this was very, very low down on the news feed this week. I always like going through the Daily Mail every morning. And often you find something tucked away at the bottom, which is actually really important. And sometimes it's a white pill, sometimes it's a black pill. But on the 8th of March, this was a headline in the Daily Mail, Switzerland bans the burqa. Referendum proposed by far-right group outlaws false face coverings following similar moves in the likes of France and Denmark. Now, this to me is a massive, massive white pill. We often talk about how broken, how brainwashed, how beaten down our people are. And if you go on Twitter now, I still check out Twitter, even though I'm not officially on there. I still check out who's on that platform. And everything now, we're all gone. So everything now is just woke nonsense. Everything on there is just absolute drivel and trash. And if you read the sentiment on Twitter and you took that as the norm, you would think white people are completely doomed. But here we have Switzerland, a beautiful European nation, and they've held a referendum on the burqa. This isn't politicians. This is the people. The majority of Swiss people have voted to ban the burqa, just like the majority of Brits voted to leave the EU. And I see this as a real white pill. I don't think the European people are as beaten down yet as some people like to tell us. And there's all these people who are so black-pilled, these so-called nationalists, that just feed us this defeatism. It's all over. We have to flee to Eastern Europe. There's no solution. The people would never vote for any far-right party or far-right ideals. And here you have the people of Switzerland voting for a law that prevents Muslims from covering their faces in public. What do you think to this, Sheree? Is this a fantastic thing?
I think it's wonderful. And, you know, our people, we've got so many good people. We're not lost. You know, we're all together. Because when I was on Twitter, I talked to so many people, so many good people. I saw so many families. Like, I wish we had messages on Gab. But on Twitter, I was always messaging people. I get to see their babies, get to see their families all around the world. There's so many people, positive, doing good things. And, you know, we even dream alike. The people were telling me their dreams. You know, we're all connected. European people are connected because even when we're sleeping, we're dreaming alike. There were so many people telling me their dreams, and they were so similar. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, we're so connected. Of course these people don't want this burqa on people's heads. That is so good because the majority actually don't want it. the media just keeps saying that how everyone else is, you know, they're all the woke people. The lie is the media. The media is making it worse than it is to make us all demoralized so we don't do anything and we're all happy, unhappy, thinking there's no hope now. There's nothing we can do. But actually there is. You start off with your own family. You start off with your own family and everything's fine then. If you get your own house in order and have everything good, because in my house there's none of this rubbish. It's none of this rubbish. So when I go home, I'm normal. And if everyone does that, it helps. But I know everyone, it's so many people doing it. We've got the best people in our community. They're the nicest, bestest people. White people are very good. They're the bestest people you can have. When I talk to them, people say to me, don't go on Twitter, they're all going to attack you. Only idiots attack me. Only bad people hated me. It was only Antifa attacking me all the time. And they never attacked me for any migrant tweets or anything. I never got put down for that. I got put down if I praised the white male, if I said anything good about feminine women, if I said anything good about families, if I said our men are wonderful, they can be Spartacus, they can be whatever, it's in their DNA to be this, to be Vikings, to be everything. That's what I got reported for, and that's what I get taken down for. Just the good things for our people. This is how bad it is. But so many good people around, it's not what it is in the news. That is just all lies. The media wants to make us sad and not even care anymore. And now with this virus, they want us to cover our face. We've got the burqa off, but now we've got the mask on. What is that? I don't wear a mask, but people are stuck wearing it. Are they wearing the mask over there when they took the burqa off? That's the good news with the burqa, because it's rubbish. But anyway, but the mask, they need to get off too.
Indeed. Jason, what's your thoughts on this burqa ban? Are you as happy about it as I am? Is this a white pill for you over there in the States?
Without question. There are a couple elements here. And I think and Cherie's making some great points about this once again. A couple things. The first thing is what you were saying, absolutely without question, the populations of these countries, the white populations, the actual, you know, Frenchmen and the rest, they obviously don't want to see this white erasure continue at some level, implicitly, explicitly, whatever it is. So they're looking out into the world and they're seeing the white erasure of this other culture that has come in. They've achieved numerical courage in their environments. So this other culture is projecting their biospirit, their ways, their norms, their instinct onto the environment, such that these countries are now no longer comfortable to our brothers and sisters in those countries. And so when given the opportunity, they are going to voice a healthy response. But why, though? The question is, why would the anti-whites in government tolerate this? Why wouldn't they find a way around it? Why wouldn't there be a single judge overruling it? Like we had so many times in the United States, we had referendums, the whole states would vote, it would be on the ballot, they would vote for something, and then a single judge would overturn it. So why hasn't that happened at least yet? I think part of the reason why is that the anti-whites, as the West becomes increasingly multiracial, and you have a greater and greater representation of different biospirits, and these different biospirits, the different peoples, different non-white, different races, non-white and white, have achieved numerical courage, and they project their instinct onto their environment. You end up with, and of course, the instinct of a people in aggregate is their culture. You end up with the cultural arms race, and cultural arms races always end in violence. They always end in balkanization. So it is predictable then that the government would have to take steps to with force and spying and the like on their population to hold what is trying to fly apart by the centrifugal force of nature, that things, elements that are not intended to be together. You can argue all you want as an anti-white, and I don't know if any anti-white actually believes this, but you can argue all you want that bringing all of these different races together, and at some point, if you do this and you just victimize the white race enough, you'll end up with eudaimonia. You'll end up with some sort of wonderful utopian environment. Of course, that's nonsense. It's never happened in the history of the world. The opposite has happened when different populations have been brought together. And very violent leaders over the years, Genghis Khan, for example, tried to bring, and he set up different quarters of cities and said, well, you can't go between. You can only just interact at the borders or whatever. It still wasn't enough. Why? Because this is the species that humanity is. If you want a different outcome, you need a different species. This is just the animal that we are. So the government then, the anti-whites in the government, needing to be able to maintain control so that the whole thing doesn't fly apart as nature would have it do so, would, I predict and continue to predict, would allow the faces to be uncovered. So, and knowing, by the way, knowing that the masks are not going to stay in place forever, these medical masks are not going to stay in place forever, want these headdresses to be removed so that they can face scan these people while they're out and about, while there's the possibility of committing crimes that would destabilize, not crimes that the anti-whites are not worried about, white people being murdered or decapitated or bombs going off and killing them. But they are nonetheless worried about losing their control over the increasingly wild tiger of multiracial dystopian hell that they have created. So they don't want people setting off bombs and decapitating. Maybe, for example, and we talk about this, of course, as well with what we refer to as the event horizon, with when the different non-white races and so-called victim groups begin to turn on each other. And when that happens, say people of a particular group that might wear a headdress, using a bomb, they blow up and they harm some other non-white group in the country. And that group or that faction of that same race or religion, the other faction decides they're going to retaliate. That is something the anti-whites in government cannot tolerate. So they need the ability to conduct the surveilling and the law enforcement and the tracking down of the people who participate in these things. When, of course, the anti-whites in government are not endeavoring to encourage these things for anti-white outcomes. So it's a really great sign, like Mark said and Cherie said, that our people are still healthy and that our people are, as Cherie was pointing out beautifully, that we have one people with many countries. We're the same all the world over. We have one biosphere, the spirit of the West. He can make us in slightly different hues. You can have beautiful, fair skin like Cherie does here on the show today. Or you could be a white person with skin that's a little bit more olive, facial structure that's a little different, hair color that's a little different. The spirit of the West makes us in these beautiful shapes and ways. We have great variety. And the anti-white knows that they have to keep us separated. They have to keep us thinking that we're all of these different peoples long enough that they can reduce us to minorities, not just a numerical minority, but a minority of courage, a minority of willpower, a minority of manliness. And that is the final point I will make, and I'll pass it back, that Cherie was pointing out so beautifully near the end of what she had to say. And that is, she was penalized by Twitter, by these different platforms, not for talking about the border crossers or this or that, but for being a glorious, beautiful white woman praising manliness in the white race, telling our men, you can be Spartacus, you can be a hero, you can be. And the anti-whites know that if our women begin celebrating white males being white men again, well, their anti-whites are going to have a hell of a time preventing us, the people who have gone to the moon and solved every riddle on planet Earth. They're going to have a hell of a time stopping us from recapturing our destiny. So I pass it back.
Thank you. Would you like to comment on that, Cherie, before we go to the questions?
Yeah, I think that Jason is right. We are the best. Our men are the best. Our men are great. I keep saying that on Twitter. That's how they got rid of me, but someone in Twitter loves me and they keep putting me back, and I'll be doing it all over again, I think. I'm doing it on Gab now because our men deserve all the praise that we can give them and all the encouragement. And our women, like, we're two halves. We have the masculine men, our feminine women. We're attracted to each other. We make great babies. I've seen all of them. I've seen all of them, and it's just, it's wonderful. It's nothing to be depressed about. We have to stick together, and we're really good people.
You are on Gab. I think you left a lovely comment on one of my Gabs the other day, actually.
Did I?
I think you did. I think it was you. If it's not, I apologize, but I think it was. I wrote quite a lengthy piece, which was almost like a little article.
I did.
Yeah, about us European people sticking together, because I'd been sort of getting a little bit irritated by a certain underbelly of British nationalists who believe that we should denigrate the French and the Germans and other European people as if they're the real enemy, when in fact all people of European descent are brothers and sisters, and we need to be sticking together against the forces that are trying to reduce us to a minority, whether that be in France, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, America, Australia, or here in the UK. And that post has gone around pretty well. And if people have missed that, that's on my Telegram and that's on my Gab. It's pretty much of a...
Very good post.
Thank you. It's pretty much a statement of intent of what I personally see as the way forward. So that's on my Gab. That's on my Telegram. I was going to read it out tonight, actually, as a bit of filler, but I won't now because Cherie is here. But we will go to the questions. You can super chat. You can send questions through Entropy. The Entropy link is in the Trovo chat right now. Somebody hopefully will pop it in the DLive chat also. And I'm going to read out the questions we've got so far. We still have nearly another hour to go, and we've got you don't have to pay, by the way. It is very much appreciated if people do leave a donation. But if you don't, you can also ask non-paid chats, and they get read out too. So don't feel that you're excluded if you're not paying. It's not a show like that. We're not doing this to make money. Obviously, it is appreciated if people do leave a donation, but non-paid chats are read out as well. So I'm going to get through the paid chats first, and then we'll do the non-paid ones. Bailiff Basher gave $25 and said, question for Mark. With reference to the Superman films of recent years, if the two General Zods went head-to-head in combat, who would be King of the Ring? Terrence Stamp from Superman 2 or Michael Shannon from Man of Steel? Keep up the good work and best wishes to Mark, Laura, and all of our wonderful regional organisers. Thank you, Bailiff Basher. That's a very generous super chat. And it's an odd one, but one I can actually answer because I have seen both films. Now, when I watched Superman 2, I was only a child, and Terrence Stamp was a great Zod, but he was very much a general. He didn't seem to be the kind of guy that got his hands dirty. His two subordinates did most of the work on his behalf. Whereas Michael Shannon in The Man of Steel, he plays a very different Zod, less of a general and more of an officer that goes out there and gets his hands dirty. So I would say that if they were to face off against each other, whereas Terrence Stamp looked more like military hierarchy and behaved more like military hierarchy, Zod was more the Michael Shannon Zod was more the kind of guy who would get his hands dirty. So I would say if the two were to face off, the Michael Shannon Zod would defeat the Terrence Stamp Zod in terms of physical contact. And somebody's pointed out, is General Zod the name of Charlie Big Potatoes on Telegram? Yes, he is. And I think Charlie Big Potatoes would probably defeat them both because he is an absolute animal. And his page, Fascist Fitness, is something we should all be following. He is a very, very... he's a fantastic role model, a very good friend. Follow his page. Do Jason or Cherie, would you like to weigh in on who is the best General Zod or...
No, not really.
No. Okay, well, that's answered. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you very much, Serena. Great to see you again tonight. And she says, sorry, so many have lost, many of our people have lost their Twitter. Love to Cherie. What is your opinion on the future of the UK royal family? Well, we've talked about the royal family for most of the show, so I'm going to give a very quick answer and we'll give very quick answers on this. I think the royal family have been rocked more by this scandal than any other scandal. And I think the royal family will continue on, but they will be more and more cravenly multicultural in the future. What do you think, Cherie?
I think so. I think they'll bend over backwards to try to make everyone think they're not racist now. I don't know. It's and imagine doing this when your grandpa was so sick. I don't know. These people are crazy. And they just threw the bomb in there. Now they're just going to be, we're not racist. No, we're not. Look at us. We're not racist at all. They'll be doing worse things now. It's just ridiculous.
Well, thank you. Alt Media gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend, and said, I'm building an alternative streaming site similar to DLive. Is there any interest in that? What Nick Fuentes did with his website is very impressive, and we should replicate that across nationalists around the world. Well, Alt Media, if you can build a stable streaming site that isn't going to kick us off and has built-in entropy or some form of questions, chats, way to donate, so we can have all of our community in one place, I'm sure people would be very grateful for that. And thank you so much for the super chat. Junta Momonari gave $10. Thank you, my friend. Great to see you here tonight. A very good friend of this channel. He says, are you aware that secular atheist Jews are the least fertile people on the planet? Fash the Nation discussed how Israeli newspapers are very concerned that in 20 years, a majority of Jews will be living in Israel and Orthodox. Even Israel isn't spared. According to the CIA, it went from TFR of 3.04 in 2019 to 2.57 today. I'm going to answer this very quickly myself. The problem is, in today's world, when you poison the well, you poison the entire water supply. In years gone by, you could poison the well in one village and it would affect one village. You could poison the media in one country and it would affect one country. But when you poison today's well, it is a global well. It is the global media and it is everywhere. So you not only poison it for the people that you want to be poisoned, but you poison it, and there is a very high chance that some of your people will drink that poison too. And I think that is what is affecting certain liberal atheist Jews as well. Jacob gave $60. Thank you for the very generous super chat, my friend. And this is for Jason. He said, going free is an apt term to describe leaving behind white guilt. Spent too much of my young adult life burdened by it. Consider this a thank you for putting your face out there and tackling issues important to me that desperately need to be brought to light. Well, thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for the generous super chat. Would you like to address that, Jason?
Oh, sure. I'll just very quickly say, and we can get to the rest of the great comments and questions from the wonderful audience. And as a deep thank you for the testimonial right there, because that's going to help people. And that's what we do on Sundays. We share many testimonials from going free. It's a practice. A lot of people wonder, well, what is going free? What exactly does that mean? It's a verb. It's a practice. It's like eating right or working out. And it's very simple to follow. We are actually getting ready to release iteration 2 of the second edition coming up in the next couple of weeks. 100 more pages to iteration 2. So more empowerment. It's all about beginning to the recapture of our destiny, beginning with yourself and learning about how you have been poisoned by anti-whiteism and how those ideas continue with you, circulating in your subconscious mind and controlling your life, limiting your life. It's the reason why no matter how many self-help books or things of this nature that you read, programs you get onto, that you implement those strategies and you can't go anywhere. Well, it doesn't matter how nice you have laid the road beyond the barrier that's in the road. You can't get to the rest of that road. And because you have to deal with the barrier. And that's what people are doing. They're dealing with these barriers. The barriers for white people are what we refer to as meme pathogens. It's just a phrase, MP, for anti-white ideas, like diversity is strength. And the attendant notions that you have learned by way of news and entertainment media and your teachers and the like about what you're supposed to feel about that idea and the people who hold those ideas. You're supposed to feel good. You're supposed to feel like those people are intelligent. And the opposite, which is that those who oppose it are ugly and incapable, stupid, etc. It's very important. Last thing I'll say about it for those who are curious, and thank you again so much for the testimonial. It's very important to appreciate, to understand that consciously you can say, oh, I don't believe that diversity is strength. But that does nothing to change what is in your subconscious mind. I ask you this. Can you consciously say, I don't know how to drive a car? Yes, you can. But do you recall how to drive the car? That is how powerful the subconscious is vis-a-vis the conscious mind. And that is therefore how powerful these ideas are embedded in your subconscious mind. You need to treat these, and then you too will be able to go free. And by the way, just one more thing. As far as the jargon is concerned, there's far less jargon in going free than there is at your place of employment. So if you could work for a living, and white people, that's kind of what we have to do to get by. If you could work for a living and learn the jargon at your workplace, you could very easily learn the jargon in going free. But I pass it back.
Well, thank you very much. David Slater gave $3. Thank you very much. He just put 14. Well, thank you. Man of the North gave $25. Thank you very much. Generous super chat. He said, Megan Smear is part of a wider attack by entryists who resent institutions their ancestors had no part in creating. Even if Ash Sakal or Afua Hirsch was made next Queen of England, it wouldn't be enough to appease these people. They want the institution erased from history. Very true. Very good super chat. Thank you very much. Max Anderson gave £5 and said, good show. Cherie is lovely. Well, it is both of those things. Thank you very much. It is a good show, and she is indeed lovely. JP gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, what a great guest to have on today. I've been following you, European Housewife, on Twitter for years and now on Gab. She is the true embodiment of the classy, sophisticated European woman and a delight on the timeline. As always, Mark and Jason, love the show. Keep doing God's work. Well, thank you very much. Cherie, would you like to respond to that?
That is so kind and so nice. Thank you so much. I wonder if I spoke to him. I don't know, but I've spoke to so many people, and I don't know, they're all so lovely. And this one, my goodness, thank you so much for that. You make me happy.
And I have just checked, you are indeed on Gab, and yes, we now follow each other. So please do go over to Gab and follow the European Housewife. Her tag is at Cherie Jasmine. And her name on there, the European Housewife, at Cherie Jasmine. So please do go and follow her over there, because she certainly deserves it. The Flying Dutchman gave $25. Thank you very much for the generous super chat, and said, Prince Harry's issues are reflective of the greater ills of society. Failure to do one's duty for family and people, selfishness and a desire for self-enrichment and fame without long-term sacrifice and discipline. In short, he decided to do what he wanted to do. Now he plays the victim. Well, that is very true. Would anyone like to comment on that?
Yeah, he's a victim. He's a victim of Meghan. And have you I saw him even complaining that he had to spend his own money. I have to spend the money my mother left me. Isn't it 32 million? I don't know. Was that supposed to not be touched? I don't know how they think that they're so hard done by. Imagine having 32 million and you're complaining because you have to spend it. I only had that left. Oh, my goodness. These people are so selfish. It's unbelievable. And it's just like the COVID. We were locked in the palace. Oh, be quiet, Meghan. This is ridiculous. I'd like to be locked in the palace too. I'd search that place. This is ridiculous for how they're behaving. Oh, poor Meghan and Harry. And the silly faces they put on. And did you see her eyes on that show? She rimmed them all around with this black eyeliner. She looked like a demon sitting there. She was so excited what she was doing. She says, I don't know, these people are hideous. Hideous people.
Jason, do you think she's the victim in this? I think that's an excellent super chat. What do you think about this? Because I believe, you know, this kind of selfish narcissism is something that does tear families apart as well. What's your thoughts on this? Because you do a lot of work with young men and people who have fallen foul of the traps laid out for young white people. Do you see that kind of selfish narcissism in young white people? And what's the best way to reorientate people to look towards family and fatherhood and motherhood rather than just materialism? How do you deal with that?
Well, the first thing that they have to do, it is absolutely a great question, and both of you all have said some marvelous points, is that what's happening is you have to ask, what is the reason that they are pursuing this selfishness? Why have they come to this point? Why have they become this kind of person? And for white people, especially white males, young white men, they are white flighting from being a white male. They're trying to get away from what it, their essence, what they can't escape. So it's this endless pursuit of hedonistic desires to try to fill the giant void that is inside of their chest, where their spirit is supposed to go. So one of the first things they need to do is to begin to reorient, as you're talking about. They need to begin to learn about the value of our people. They need to begin to learn that whatever they think they are today is far less than what they can be. Because all of these deleterious thoughts that are circulating in their subconscious mind are preventing them from their true physical, mental, and spiritual potential. If they realize that they have the potential to be as great or nearly as great as our greats throughout history, once they realize that they have this great dignity heritage that is bequeathed to them by our people, they will then see themselves as valuable. Right now, they have no value. And when you have something that has no value, how do you treat it compared to something that you believe has value? Now, if you're a really good person, maybe you have the car that is $800, $1,000, and you still treat it well. But generally speaking, the average person, if they have the $800, $1,000 car, are going to treat it one way. And if they have the $1 million car, they're going to treat it a very different way. It's going to be locked up. It's going to be wiped down with the diaper and given baby kisses at night or whatever it might be. That is how they have to learn to see their lives, because that is indeed what is inside of them. That is the value that they're carrying. So the reorientation of the selfishness, the hedonistic, et cetera, the pursuit. And remember that much of this is simply an endeavor that is fed by laissez-faire capitalism, crony capitalism, etc., that says your feelings of loneliness, your feelings of desperation, your feelings of isolation, your feelings of ugliness, your feelings of inferiority, all of that can be ameliorated with the newest watch, the newest this or the newest that. And so it is this endless endeavor. Of course, you have to be selfish to do that. You're trying to fill this gaping wound inside of you where your soul is supposed to go. And so you are endeavoring endlessly to do that. I think for many of these young men, of course, this is not going to be the case for all, but for many or most of these young men, once they learn the value of themselves and our people, they will begin to feel that void fill with the spirit of the West. And they'll begin to be less selfish. They'll begin to finally become men rather than being just males or just boys. And finally, just to say that, yes, this Harry, this hirsute, maybe we should call him from now on, he is the microcosm of the macrocosm, that is to say. He's a great example, regrettably, of what so many white males have become. And that's just this feckless, gelded, wife following to-do list kind of a guy, honey-do list, as we say in the States, probably also say it over there in the UK. It's just, what else can you do for you next? And that indeed is one of the main reasons why we are in such a terrible state. And again, another reason why at Twitter and or elsewhere, they panic when they hear Cherie saying, oh, these our men are magnificent and they need to be more manly. And it, rather than a white woman dominating the white men in their lives, which is what they want instead. They want that instead. And so, yeah, it's absolutely, I agree. What a great question. And I'll pass it back.
Thank you. It's a very, very comprehensive answer too. Tim gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, why do you think the uptake of COVID vaccine has been quite a bit higher among white people than non-whites in the UK? I think that's because white people are generally more compliant to what the state wants of them than other groups. I think that white people are more willing to do what they're told. They are more willing to go along with whatever's asked of them. And I think this shines through when you're talking about things like the vaccination. I've spoken to some people who chose to take the vaccine, and they seem really happy about it. And I also think, I've got to say this. The way they've sold the vaccine has been very much steeped in kind of World War II kind of jingoistic patriotism. Oh, it's the Blitz spirit. You're doing it for Captain Tom. If you don't take the vaccine, you're the kind of person who'd be killing Captain Tom. Killing Captain Tom, you selfish monster. You know, they even wheeled out the Queen. This was the front page of the Daily Mail on February the 26th. Astonishing intervention over vaccine take-up. The Queen. It's selfish not to take the jab. The Queen has made a historic intervention in the coronavirus vaccination drive, suggesting it's selfish not to have the jab. And then she goes on to say, people who have never had a vaccine ought to think about other people rather than themselves. Well, that's not how vaccines work. You know, the Queen's obviously, you know, doesn't understand how vaccinations work. Vaccinations work like an umbrella. If you've got an umbrella up, you don't get wet. If other people don't put their umbrellas up, they get wet. It's mutually exclusive. If you're vaccinated, you are meant not to get the disease. If you choose not to get vaccinated, you get the disease, but that doesn't affect people who've chosen to have the vaccine. So absolutely insane comment there by the Queen. But, you know, she went in on this. And I think that a lot of people who buy into those kind of narratives that, you know, we've got to hunker down because it's the Blitz spirit and we're doing this for, you know, we're doing this because the Queen said so. I think those things affect white people. I don't think those things affect non-white people as much. What do you think, Cherie? Why do you think white people are more likely to take the vaccine?
I know, they just want to be so good. It's like, oh, we want to help everyone. We want to, you know, do all the right thing. But it's the worst thing to do, I think. I'm not going to be taking any vaccines. Neither any of my family will be. And I've seen a lot of, it's not reported in the media, but people do get sick from that vaccine. Things are going on because my oldest daughter, she's a nurse, and she was in the COVID ward for the whole thing until recently. She was in there, and we were just shocked. I wasn't scared of the COVID anymore. I was scared of the government because the whole thing, COVID is a flu. It's not. And in 2019, more people died from pneumonia than COVID. Now it's everything is COVID. Everything is blamed on COVID. That hospital, you know how many people try to get in there to film the empty hallways? Because that's what it is. And they've got security on there. There's nothing. This vaccine, they try. Now the schools here, no one's allowed to go to school over 12 years of age unless they have the test, the COVID test, every week. And everyone's protesting. Everyone's going crazy. We're all doing lawsuits for the government. And what's happening in the news? They're saying, oh, everything's going fine. Everyone's having their test. All their children's having their test. But no, they're not. They're lying in the media. And it's going to be the same thing when they're rolling the vaccine. Everyone wants a vaccine. Everyone's having it. The media are liars. I went to a protest about this COVID, and then I went there, and it was peaceful. Everything was good. And we went back to our hotel for the night, and then the next day, it was all on the news. There was fires. It was everything saying, oh, my goodness, the protests were crazy. So the next day, me and my husband just walked down that street that we were on. There was nothing. There was no windows broken like on the news. There was nothing. There was no fires. There was nothing. I said to everyone, come down here. It's a lie. The media are lying that we're all protesting and we're doing all this at night. And when they came down, they couldn't believe it because they all thought that the protesters were breaking all the windows on this shopping street and all this stuff they did. And it was all lies, the media. I don't know what they're doing, whether they just got bins and just burnt them for the camera, but I don't know what footage they had, but it wasn't our protest. It wasn't anything. They just lie. It's all for this vaccine. They'd be rolling it in. But now, you've got kids. How can you have a COVID test every week to go to school? Every week. They're bringing them down to the school and say, if you don't have them, you don't get in the class. So my daughter doesn't go to school now, and this is her last year in high school. She can't go to school because she won't have the test. And you know how many people actually have problems with that test? So many people have bleeding noses, have migraines afterwards, runny noses, they have sinus problems. Not everyone feels good after that test. And when you have that test, is it accurate? Because my husband works with some workers, and he had to take them down to have the COVID test. All of them tested positive. They tested positive, 10 of them. And his boss said, what? How can they all be positive? How can they be positive like this? He took them to another place an hour later, and they were all negative. I can't understand how they're positive in this place and negative in the other. The whole thing with that test, the vaccine, the rollout, the kids and everything, they do things here first and practice it. Next thing, the whole world will be like this. Your kids, take it out. Soon it will. They don't even do surgery here now without a vaccine. I was hearing today from my daughter. They don't do heart surgery unless you've had a vaccine. And I'm thinking, are they going to let everyone die? Why are they going to let everyone die because you don't have the vaccine? You're the one that's... How are you spreading anything if everyone's had the vaccine? Aren't they immune to it now? It's going to be continuous with this. And we're just all locked in. It's going to continue with it. And if we don't, we can't comply with this. We can't put our kids to school like this. They even went down to a primary school without permission and did the test on the kids, and the kids were screaming and crying, 8-year-olds. And that wasn't in the news. This wasn't in the news, but the parents went nuts. So they decided, we'll make it for all the 12 years and up. So now they're doing this. So now so many of our kids are not at school. My grandkids are not at school. My daughter's not at school. We can't go to school now because we don't do the COVID test every week. It's ridiculous. This is something else. It's not just a virus. It's something else they're doing. And they practice on the little countries first. I have to do a message similarly. I don't do it. But you have to do a message to go out the house twice a day. And there's 9 things you press and you get permission from the police to go out. I never do my message. They can come and get me. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is so stupid. I don't know. And then I'm not even supposed to go out of Limassol, but I go out every week. I go out to the mountains. People say to me, why are you having so much fun? Why are you doing this? It's a lockdown. You're killing people. You're killing people by going to the forest. You know, how stupid is this? I don't know. Come and get me and drag me off to jail because this is ridiculous. The whole thing's a big scam. It's not what it is. When you see it up close, the whole thing's a lie. The whole thing's a lie, it is.
Thank you, Jason. Do you have anything to add to this?
No, I think Cherie covered it beautifully. I will let her have the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, I think she did too. Flying Dutchman gave $5. Thank you very much. And he said, thank you, Cherie, for appearing on the show. Well, I think it's been a fantastic show so far, and people seem to be really loving Cherie, and rightfully so. Junta Mominari gave another $3. Thank you very much, my friend, and said, I want to add that Orthodox Jews are completely unaffected by the fertility decline, and paradoxically, some of the most fertile people on the planet. Thank you. I would also compare Orthodox Jews with the Amish in terms of they're similar in the way they live. They cut themselves off from modernity, and both of those communities have booming birth rates. Arab social nationalist, I nearly read that the wrong way around there, gave £10. Thank you very much. And he said, hail Cherie, friend from Gab here. In the spirit of white positivity, I'll say that I am endlessly impressed with the positive nature of this movement and the ways in which constructive discussions can be had on the so-called far right. Thank you for all the good faith interactions. Cheers. Well, thank you, Arab social nationalist. I know you've been around for a long time. You're a big supporter of this channel. And would be great to speak to you at some point. So thank you for your support. Stan One gave £10. Thank you very much. And he said, another great show and superb guest. Thank you. And It's Okay to Be a National gave £5. Thank you very much. And said, Mark, with the census coming up, I suggest that we should be registering as Christians in an attempt to boost up the Christian numbers. Is that something you would recommend? I'm not sure. I think people have to be honest on the census. I think the whole point of the census is honesty. And if you are a Christian, then you should register as a Christian and you should be honest about that. If you're not, then you shouldn't, because I want the census to be as accurate as possible. And the reason I want it to be as accurate as possible and not distorted in any way is because I actually want to look at the census and say, this has... illuminated us as to the trends of demographic change. And I don't want to see that skewed in any way. I want to be able to say this census, when compared with previous censuses, shows that white people will be a minority by this date. And I think we will be able to see that. And I think we'll be able to track other things like changes in the way people are going to church or not. So I appreciate what you're saying, but at the same time, I want the census to be as accurate as possible. Now, I know that every time there's a census, illegal immigrants don't fill out the census. So there's always the illegal immigrants to add on top. But I think, and I think Laura would agree, I don't know if Laura Towler's in the chat tonight, but Laura is our resident statistician. She has all the facts when it comes to birth rates, demographics, etc. But I think it's very important. This census is the most important census that's ever been. And I want it. I cannot wait. Actually, mine came in the post the other day. I've got to fill it out. But I'm very, very eager to see what the trends are. Anyway, we have lots of unpaid super chats. If you want to super chat or you want to ask a question, there is still plenty of time. We have another 25 minutes of the show, and it's been a great show so far. But Connor Chickmeister says, potential jurors for the Derek Chauvin trial are being questioned regarding their views on BLM. Is this a blatant attempt to ensure that the trial is rigged as a result of a heavily biased jury? Well, I'll answer this first, and I'll say that depends whether they're being blocked from being on the jury for being BLM or being blocked from being on the jury if they're anti-BLM. I mean, I would say for this to be a fair trial, people would have to look at the issue of BLM from a neutral standpoint. The whole point of a jury is they're absolutely neutral. But I think the establishment will be absolutely desperately trying to avoid an acquittal, because if Chauvin is acquitted, which I believe he will be or should be acquitted, the fact is, you have to ask yourself, this is a bit of a digression, but you have to ask yourself two things with the Chauvin trial. Firstly, did Chauvin have the right to arrest George Floyd? The answer is yes. He had the right to arrest George Floyd. So once you move wrongful arrest out of the equation, that is one of the biggest things they have against police or cops in these kind of trials. Once wrongful arrest is put to one side, that's a big thing. And the second thing is, if he had the right to arrest him, which he did he follow the protocols that he was taught? Did he do it by the book? And if the answer to that is yes, and you have two yeses, so yes, he had the right to arrest him, and yes, when he arrested him, he followed what he was taught to do, he is getting acquitted. And if he was told or trained to restrain people in that particular way, then there is no way that a fair and unbiased jury could convict. Because if you are working for the police and you go and arrest a violent criminal and you've been told to arrest them and you have right of arrest over them and you restrain them in the way you've been told to and taught to, you cannot be found guilty. So that's just my take on it. What do you guys think, Cherie? Do you think Chauvin will go down, or do you think he can be acquitted?
Well, if he's acquitted, it's going to be crazy, isn't it? Oh my goodness! I think look at there when that, what's his name, Simpson, he got away. He got away with killing his wife because everyone was going to go crazy. So this one, it might be like he won't get away with anything because everyone's going to go crazy about it. So that's, it could be like this. It could be like a big setup, like, oh, well, he killed a black person, even if he did it, you know, within the law, and that person was on drugs and everything else. They're not going to care about anything. They're not going to care anything. All they care about is a white person, a white policeman, and this black criminal got killed. And that's all they're going to care about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the regime, the anti-white regime, they obviously want the Chauvin to be convicted and to go to jail. And I still think even if he's convicted and goes to jail, the anti-whites are still going to act up in the streets, because anything short of being drawn and quartered is going to be infuriating to them. They want more than just imprisonment. They want victimization. They want humiliation. They want death. And I will guess now that surmise now that the administration in Washington, D.C. will move to place investigations into the different police departments, that one certainly, and maybe any other one that anti-whites demand that that investigations be placed. All, of course, will be at the expense of taxpayer dollars. There is the problem that for them that this is really, it appears on the outside, we're not there hearing the evidence. I guess nobody's hearing the evidence just yet as they're doing jury selection. But there is the possibility that the evidence is insurmountable in a non-guilty scenario. And that is going to make it difficult. I think even if the prosecutors or even if the judge is given some leeway or the jury given leeway in the sense that they can punish to some lesser degree than the original, I don't know. I have not looked at the case closely. Even if they're given that option, and even if it's unspeakably unfair, and they to Chauvin, and they take that option, that's still not going to be enough for these individuals, these anti-whites, to want to get out into the streets. So you're going to see them coddled like they were over the summer in the United States last year. But you'll also see all of this top-down anti-white effort to fire police chiefs, to arrest other white police officers for not really non-crimes, but they'll fire white police officers, and the media will do, anti-white media will do its job to tell the world and show the world, look at how much victimizing we're doing of Western kind and Western civilization. So go ahead and be placated over that. But we're going to have definitely some sparks showing up in the very near future. Literally, there'll be sparks showing up in the United States very nearly soon.
Well, thank you for both of you on that. We've got some more paid super chats. Yiz the Eunuch gave $3. Thank you very much. And said, I like Trovo more than DLive. Well, me too, because they haven't kicked me off yet. Cherie is the most lovely guest. White lives matter. No white guilt. Well, thank you very much for that. Weird Internet Guy gave £20 over 2 super chats. Thank you very much. And said, a few of us were talking about you recently. We'd like to know, is it the same black shirt you wear every week? If so, do you own any other shirts? And if you do, are they all black? Be honest. It is the same black shirt. I actually own 3 different black shirts, but this is the one I wear for this show. And I do own a number of other shirts. However, I think for the next conference, I'm going to have to christen that conference with a new shirt. It's just something I've always worn. And since I've worn it, people started saying, are you going to wear the same shirt forever? So I sort of dug my heels in and have indeed done that. So that is kind of like my thing now. So yes, it is the same shirt, but I do like it. I do like it. It's something that's kind of like one of my trademarks now. And he also said, thanks for all the good work. Well, thank you to you too. And thank you for the super chats, my friend. 88th Brigade said Switzerland had a referendum where they voted to ban minarets on mosques in 2009. Thank you very much. I didn't know that. And he also said, get Blair Cottrell on for the 100th episode. I will. Blair is a fantastic guy. Here's a question for Cherie from Celt. He says, how can we divert young girls away from the path of blue-haired man-hate and life as a spinster cat lady?
Oh, my goodness. I saw this lovely girl the other day. We were in the forest, and she just popped out with her boyfriend, this big dog. And my husband was just looking at her because she wasn't lovely. She was lovely. She would have been lovely, but she had shaved all her hair off, and she had earrings in her mouth, and she had all this stuff. And my husband said, why'd she do that? Why'd she do that to herself? And I said, because she doesn't understand that she's given in to the feminism. Now she has no power. She shaved her head. She's put all these ugly things in. The power is to be a woman, to be a feminine woman. That is the powerful woman. These women, I don't know, we have to get our young girls away from the ugliness and want to be good again and be nice and kind. And it's going to be hard because it's like the media is doing this. They're brainwashing them. I've seen it here now. It never used to be here. I couldn't believe it when it started happening. I was thinking, my goodness, everyone's religious here. How's this happening? And it was like, I'm glad my kids are not like that, but other kids that, I don't know, people's not strict enough with it, or their mothers just, I don't know, are not feminine enough to just, they seem to be, it's a lot of people work, they leave their kids, and it seems to be breaking up the family. The kids just go riot with this, with other people. It's with the friends that are more of an influence than the families are. It's like they're looking at their friends, and their friends are no good and from bad families, but their good families seem to keep it together. If you keep your family together, it all keeps together, really. Because I couldn't imagine my daughters doing this. They'd be like, hey, mom, yuck, look at this person's face, and or this hair and whatever. It's like they're making themselves ugly, and the media is making it like it's good to be ugly. It's good. This is a woman now. A woman is mean, nasty. She's tough. She's stronger than a man. She's not just a man. She's stronger. She's tougher than him. She's meaner than him. She's the boss of the world. She should have everything. And then you have to be ugly too. You can't look good. I don't know. And that's the power. The power's taken away. When they take the beauty away, the femininity away, all the power is gone, and they're left with this ugly thing that nobody wants. That's how they end up with this, by themselves and with kids from all other people. And the only way to do it is with our own families. You have to be very close to your kids. You have to educate them as they grow up. That they turn off the TV. The TV is poison. It's all lies, the news is lies, everything. And it's when on the internet now, limit the internet if you can with the young people. When they're teenagers, you point it out. I'm always like, oh, my goodness, look at that, so ugly. Look at this and that, whatever it is. Oh, look, they're just hating on white people. My kids have got it in their head now. They've got it in their head now that this is a plan to make them like this, and they can spot it. But they've been brought up since they're tiny like this to know the signs of it. A lot of people think, I don't want to bring my kids up like that. I want them to be in a good world. Well, it's a bad world at the moment. You can't bring your kids up like this. You have to make them think. My daughters will not walk through a crowd of Middle Eastern men in the park or Africans, because they know that they're not the white men that's not going to attack them. They're the men that's going to drag them away. It's just obvious. You have to teach your kids. You have to tell them the truth. You're doing a big disservice to your children if you don't tell them the truth about people. You can't pretend everyone's the same. If you do that, you're going to end up, your kid's going to be a target of one of these people. And it's the same with the looks. The looks, everything goes together with this, because it's all together, everything. They've ruined everything. It's the feminism, the migrants thrown on us, the go with the black. I even saw commercials here now with the black man up on the screen with the white woman. And what is this? It's like pushing it, and then they bring them all in. They bring them all in and say, oh, look, you know, don't be racist. You know, what is this? They're pushing that on our kids, all this rubbish. And the only way to stop it is to be very close to your kids. Tell them from the beginning. Tell them since they're little. You're not saying bad stuff. It just comes up naturally. Like recently we've been watching reruns of Merlin, and my daughter was watching, and when the Guinevere came on, and she looks like she's from New Zealand. She looks like a Maori. And I said, Guinevere was not a Maori. She was not Maori. She was a beautiful English woman. They're doing this. This is another thing. And then you do little things like this, and people wake up to it. The kids wake up to it. They don't go against it. They actually see. They say, look, Mom, look at this. Look, they're trying to make this. Look at this. You know, they see it if you lead them in that direction from when they're tiny. Don't hide it from them.
Thank you. That's a very, very good answer. Albion Forever said today would have been Simon Harris's 61st birthday. Well, thank you for pointing that out. Simon was a fantastic guy. And I can assure you, at the next PA conference, there will be a seat left empty for Simon, and we will be having a minute's silence in his honour. Simon was a fantastic man, and he was somebody that was much loved in this community. I remember speaking to him, actually, not long before he passed. We had a couple of quite long private chats on Skype. I got on very, very well with Simon, and I think him passing when he did left a big hole in the movement. But we will have, we will definitely have a tribute to him at the next PA conference. Jonas Azana said, have you guys heard of this new super straight thing? What do you think of it? Have you heard of that, Jason? Well, apparently people are declaring themselves as super straight. Now, it's something that's been on social networks, and I'm not sure what it actually means. If somebody could actually say, I'm not actually sure what it means. Apparently, I've just Googled it, and it says, super social media trend has people identifying as super straight. The transphobic campaign was meant to divide LGBTQ people. Super straight started to trend on social media when users claimed it was their sexual orientation. The descriptor started on TikTok but gained traction on toxic forums. Like, I'm liking the sound of this more and more and more I read. In deleted threads, users pushed to spread the transphobic trend. Well, I like this. I am super straight. And yes, super straight should be something that we refer to ourselves as. I didn't know originally whether it actually referred to sexuality or something else, because at one point, super straight, which has the wonderful initials SS, which could mean something else entirely, but I'm not very well historically read, so I don't know at all. But straight was also something in the UK which didn't refer to sexuality, but referred to not drinking or not being on drugs. And if you were straight, it meant if you were going straight at one point, that meant you'd got off the drugs or got off the drink. So I didn't know whether it related to something else, but no, it relates to sexuality. And yes, I am super straight. So yes, I think that's a good thing. And if it's winding up dribbling liberal or multiculturalist loons, it can only be a good thing. Right. Kelt asked another question for Cherie. Cherie, in this legal and social environment, is it madness for men to marry and face divorce? How can women behave any differently in this environment?
You know, that is a good question, because there's a lot of horrible women out there, and they use a man up and then they think they're so smart. Oh, look, I don't need you anymore. I can get all your money anyway by getting a divorce. And then they torture them with the kids. I've seen this so many times. They torture them with the kids. The man's bending over backwards. He can never have a good life. He can't even find another woman because his ex is doing all this horrible stuff and he can't afford anyone else. That's how it is. It's very scary to be married. This happened in my family because my husband used to be married before to a devil. And when he met me, it was like I was too good to be true. So you can find good people. You can find them, but you have to get to know them very well, because look at Harry, what happened to him. Falling in love on the second date and then just getting married is crazy. But getting to know someone is different. You have to get to know them, because a lot of women are actors, actresses. They pretend they're so good. They're narcissists too. They pretend they're so good. They do anything for you. They're so lovely until you've got them in the house. You've got them in the house and you've got the devil in there. They change, because they can put an act on for a long, long time. You really have to get to know them. Not every woman's good. Not every woman's bad. It's just like men. It's more like a lot of narcissists nowadays. So you have to be careful who you pick. For women too, you don't want to get stuck with a narcissist either. It's when people say, oh my God, oh, men are so bad. Oh, women are so bad. No, narcissists are bad. And you have to avoid those idiots, because you'll be okay if you get someone normal. Get to know them like normal people. Get to know them for a while and then let them, you know, don't just jump into it, because you're going to be sorry. You're going to be very sorry, because it happened in our family and that was a big tragedy for my husband with this. And then it was like this. And then when I came along, it's like it's hard for the man to believe there's anyone good anymore. And this is the thing. You're the second woman, the good woman that you meet, you'll be thinking, I don't want to get married because it's going to happen to me again. And then the good person gets treated like this. And then the other one got all the everything. They got the house. They got the everything. You can't do this. You have to treat each person differently. So if you do go and look for a woman, make sure you get to know her or a man, whatever it is, because it can be a big tragedy.
I'm going to give a brief comment on this. When you're a guy, you can go out and you can meet somebody. And sometimes you meet somebody and they're not just beautiful, but there's something about a certain type of woman that can be intoxicating. And I'm not just talking about their looks. I'm talking about the way they speak, the way they touch your hand, the way they brush up against you, their smell, the way they flick their hair behind their ear. Everything about that woman is intoxicating and it sucks you in and you're almost entranced by them. And in those initial meetings, a woman who is like that and is good at being that and good at getting men wrapped around their fingers can play all of the right cards. And basically, they can wrap that guy round their finger. And then when the man finally does sleep with the woman, these women are usually women that are extremely sexual and sensual, and it blows a man's mind. And from that point, the man is almost trapped in their grasp. And my advice to any guy, and this isn't the most traditional advice, but my advice to any guy who's in that situation is do not jump in and get married. Do not get her pregnant instantly. Live with her. As soon as you can, live with her for 3 months. Because I can promise you this, if the woman or the man, this would work for women as well, if your partner, whoever that is, male or female, is putting up some kind of act and having you on, that act can only be sustained for short bursts. A weekend away in a nice hotel somewhere, a day out, a shopping trip, a trip to the cinema, a nice meal in an expensive restaurant. But when you wake up with that person every day, when you see them roll out of bed and go to the toilet and get their breakfast and go out the door to work on a rainy Monday morning and come back in when they've missed their deadline or messed something up or their car's had a flat tire, when you see somebody in those day-to-day normal interactions that try our patience, all of a sudden, the mask will drop. And I once spent 2 years of my life with a very, very attractive woman. And we finally decided it was time to move in. And with 3 months of us being in the same house, that was it. She was going. She was gone. That was it. I couldn't stand it anymore because it was just a nonsense. And if you base your entire relationship on things that can be easily faked, you are going to be in for a major shock if you get married and the first time you live with somebody is you'll find out all the truths about them. And it's the same with men. If you're marrying a con man or a woman who's, or you're a man marrying a woman that's conning you, 3 months living in the same house, doing day-to-day normal things, the mask slips. That's my advice. But that brings us to about the end of the show, unless you'd like to add anything to that, Cherie.
No, that's true. It's very true. Because I have a sister that's got, I don't know, she's got every car that exists and houses from all different men, and she just sucked them all in, and they loved it at first. And you can't even warn them. You can't warn them. I said, she's going to take everything from you. She's going to take, no, you're just, she's just jealous. She's just jealous. But, you know, they're there. Watch out for these women.
Indeed, indeed. And I've got to say as well, some men do this. There are men out there who are good-looking young men or very smooth operators and do very similar things to women. There have been plenty of cases where women have lost their life savings to, to smooth talkers. And also, there are those mad sort of middle-aged fatties who all seem to go to Nigeria now and come back with some African prince who, 5 minutes of being in the UK, as soon as he's got his green card, he's off to be a grime star, isn't he? You know, so yeah, it does happen to people. But anyway, on that bombshell, this brings us to about the end of the show. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the lovely Cherie. Would you like to give yourself a short outro and tell everyone where they can find you? It's been an amazing night with you.
Okay, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Gab, and I'm on YouTube. I haven't done any videos yet, but I'm working on some videos. If anyone subscribes on there, they'll be up soon. And that's about it, I guess. I'm on Telegram too. But it was a lovely night tonight, and I'm so glad that you invited me, and I'm very happy and very thankful. And I just love all our people, and we're wonderful people. And never, never lose hope for anything, because we're all doing pretty good. We're doing good, even in the worst circumstances, we're doing good.
Thank you very much. Jason, my friend, would you like to give yourself a quick outro and tell us who's on tap?
We are indeed a lovely people, and one of our loveliest is Cherie, the European housewife. Make sure you follow her and the good work that she's doing, and her wonderful husband there behind the scenes. And we thank you so much. We love you so much. So it's been wonderful. Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on No White Guilt on YouTube. But check out nowhiteguilt.org, theafterparty.tv. You'll find links to all the different platforms, 9 or so that we stream to. We hope to see you all there. We're going to have Hyrith on. And everybody knows and loves Hyrith. Her music is magnificent. It's getting better with every new song. This is a whole new album. And we'll be talking to her about her work and these songs and maybe some of the expectations for the future. It's been marvelous being with this lovely, prepossessing young lady here today and our great leader on PWR, Mark Collett, and all of you, of course. We love you all. You are the best of the entire West, and we are grateful that you're here with us. I pass it back and look forward to seeing you all again next week.
Thank you very much, Jason, and thank you, Cherie. And I just want to say a huge thank you. Look, the other week when we were kicked off D Live, I've got to say, I was really, really disappointed, and I wondered how it would affect this show. And obviously, after doing nearly 200 episodes of shows like this and seeing highs where we've had about 3,500 to 4,000 people over multiple platforms, I was worried about what would happen, moving house yet again, this time to Trovo. But tonight, we've had, again, amazing figures. We've had nearly 2,100 watching on Radio Albion. We've had nearly 300 on Trovo and Entropy between them. And we have had just over 700 at peak on DLive. So that's 1,000 on Trovo, Entropy and DLive altogether, and 2,100 on Radio Albion on both the audio, that's the audio player and the video player together. So that's 3,100 people watching. And I've got to say this, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I really do want to thank everybody who has supported the show like this, whether it be with a donation, whether it be by just being here. From the bottom of my heart, when I started doing these shows, I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to do something that was consistent and long-lasting. And to be here nearly 4 years later, still doing these shows and still getting this many live viewers, and then getting thousands more watching the repeats on BitChute and Radio Albion, because the repeats on both, we get about 4,000 to 6,000 a month watching on Radio Albion repeats, and about somewhere between 4,000 and 12,000 on BitChute. Getting these numbers, you know, 4 years down the line, honestly, thank you to this community from the bottom of my heart. We are going to make episode 100 a night to remember. Thank you so much. I'd just like to say, just to wrap up, thank you, Cherie. Thank you, Jason. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. Thank you to this community. And I'll be back on Friday with a video dedicated to the royal family. And I will also be back on Sunday with the lovely Laura Towler, Nativist Concern and Horus, for our review of Schindler's List. And I can tell you this, after 3.5 hours of that film, I was glad it was over. to quote a certain group of people, never again. And I am not watching that film again. And on that bombshell, I will see you same time next week for another episode of PWR. See you all soon. Have a great rest of your week. Stay safe, guys. Good night and God bless.